there. Thanks for tuning in to Swiss Info's program for July 8th. I'm Susan Folger-Masika in our studio in Bern.
So it is quite clear that these barracks are no concentration camps,
says a Swiss official regarding the newest refugee housing. And this is what American music man Quincy Jones wants to know.
They can party too. I mean, Switzerland, how does Switzerland get so ghetto?
This week we'll hear why Jones was in Switzerland, and not just for the Montreux Jazz Festival, which is also a topic in this show. But first, housing for refugees. This year, more than 8,000 people have applied for asylum in Switzerland, and they need a place to stay. The country's asylum centers are overflowing, so the Federal Migration Office has asked the cantons to help out. So far, only Bern, Graubünden, and Uri have offered to house more asylum seekers. In Canton Bern, the Swiss Army is freeing up two of its barracks with plans to accommodate people from North Africa. But the canton's security director, Hans-Jörg Kaiser, says he still has to persuade the local communities to agree to the move. Swiss Info journalist Julie Hunt interviewed Kaiser this week.
Well, it is obvious that nobody is happy about it. None of these three communities is really prepared to accept this situation. But I'm still convinced we have to find solutions, because these asylum seekers will come to this country and they will have to be put somewhere.
What is the community being told about the period of stay of the North Africans?
The BFM said a couple of months. To me, a couple of months is about half a year. That should be the maximum. If we realize to have these barracks available for half a year, I think we could cope pretty good with the whole situation.
And then what if they're not dealt with in that period of time?
The Confederation has to make sure that the Dublin cases of the fugitives are handled first priority. Because if this happens, we could send these people back to the country where they have first asked for asylum, and that's definitely not Switzerland. The other ones would be distributed to other centres, so then we would have enough beds to put them up.
And what will happen to the asylum seekers? What kind of living situation will they have? Will they be allowed outside the barracks?
So it is quite clear that these barracks are no concentration camps. There's a fence around it and Securitas is in charge of the security, but it will not be possible to prevent them from leaving the camp. They, of course, have a certain tendency to go to the cities where they meet people from their country, their culture, where they can talk. And quite a couple of them, unfortunately, are also criminals. And they can't really work as long as their claim is proved. But there's a certain likeness that they are in certain groups of people who deal with drugs, you know, who make robberies, they travel in trains without ticket, things like that.
So it's actually a serious risk for Switzerland in terms of security. Wouldn't there be a case for creating a more secure barracks with barbed wire or more prison-like setting?
I wouldn't say it's a serious risk of security for the population, but there is a certain risk, definitely, and there is a certain criminality, definitely, that's true. So our police has to make sure that we can cope with this problem. So far, in this country, nobody really wants to make camps with barbed wire, with a tough security, but I'm sure that we must discuss about this setting too.
That was Bern's security director, Hans-Jörg Kaiser, talking to Swiss Info journalist Julie Hunt. Visit our website at swissinfo.ch to watch a video on that topic. The American Embassy in Bern celebrated the 4th of July, Independence Day, in style. American baritone Randall Turner sang the Star-Spangled Banner. While Swiss blues musician Philipp Fankhauser warmed up the crowd. But the big draw? The two guests of honor, music legend Quincy Jones and his buddy Claude Nobbs, the founder of the Montreux Jazz Festival. Jones is probably most famous for producing Michael Jackson's Thriller album and the 1985 single We Are the World. Both Jones and Nobbs received the Ambassador's Award for Cultural Diplomacy at the event, which was attended by 800 people from the worlds of business, politics, and the arts. Dressed in a sharp white suit, 78-year-old Jones made them laugh.
We were here on a tour with Nat King Cole and Raleigh Orchestra, played all the cities in Switzerland, and at that time, the Migro Corporation saw us and asked us to come back in 1961, and we played 18 cities in Switzerland. So I can never get enough of Raclette and Fondue. And they can party, too. I mean, Switzerland, how does Switzerland get so ghetto? It's amazing. My God, I'd love it, you know.
Each man got a crystal sculpture engraved with titles penned by U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She named Jones a Maestro of Peace, while Nobbs was dubbed the founding father of American jazz in Europe. U.S. Ambassador to Switzerland Donald Beyer said Nobbs had done a lot for cultural ties.
Nothing we pursue in our embassy does as much to promote mutual cultural understanding as what you do every year at the Montreux Jazz Festival. From the days of the Cold War, you've given people a reason to smile or at least tap their feet when they think of America.
In addition, Beyer praised Jones for his humanitarian efforts, saying that America was proud of him and his work. And Nobbs credited Jones for helping him to make the Montreux Jazz Festival such a success.
We have blues, we have gospel, we have Africa, we have Brazil. So by getting the people from different horizons, and with the help of Quincy, who is the first master-minded guy, which is, this year he's bringing a group from Korea, an 11-piece band from Korea, out of all places. How would ever I thought about bringing a group from Korea?
And speaking of the Montreux Jazz Festival, it's currently in full swing. This year it celebrates its 45th anniversary. As Nobbs pointed out, you can hear a little bit of everything there. Info journalist Bernard Leschow has been going to Montreux for years, and this year is no exception. I caught up with him by phone this week and asked him about the history of the festival.
The founder, Claude Nobbs, was a great fan of jazz music and really wanted to bring the jazz music to Montreux. But he's also interested in other musics, and I think that very, very early he understood that if he wanted to create a big festival and get success, he had to open the doors to other musics. And the festival was created in 67, but in 69 already, beside jazz musicians, some rock bands were playing in Montreux. For example, the first time Santana played in Montreux was in 70. So rock music was always in Montreux too. And since that time, all kind of pop music came there. You had the rock, soul, reggae, funk, electro, rap. But jazz continues to be there. Jazz is still present, too.
And how would you say the festival has changed over the years?
At the beginning, it was like a small bicycle, if you want, and now it's a Rolls Royce. 67 was in San Francisco, the summer of love, and even in Switzerland, the times were very different as today. The festival was launched with a lot of passion and idealism in a very, very amateur way, I think. But today it's a rather big machine. It lasts 16 days, 1,400 people are working in the staff during the event, and over 1,000 musicians are participating to the festival. So it's very, it's huge.
And about how many visitors come?
It's about 200,000 people.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. And have you got any special memories over the years, some highlight that you'll never forget?
Yes, I have a very old souvenir. I was only a festival goer and not a journalist at the time. I saw B.B. King and Etta James jamming together, and suddenly Brian May from Queen playing suddenly with them. It was a nice surprise. And Leonard Cohen gig in Montreal 3 years ago was also one of the most beautiful show I saw in my life, I think. And as a journalist, I remember a great interview with John Lord, Deep Purple's keyboard player. It was in a salon in the Montreux Palace. And yes, maybe spending a moment alone with Katie Melua was also a nice souvenir.
Wow. So, I mean, you never know who you might run into at the festival. And do you have any tips then for festival goers on how to best enjoy it?
Buy your tickets very early and be rich. Because if you want to be well-seated, Montreux is rather expensive. More seriously, there are also a lot of good concerts which are free in the Montreux Jazz Café, for example. But yes, no special tips, but maybe just stay in the area of the palace during the afternoon. Maybe you will meet Carlos Santana or Quincy Jones or somebody else just walking along there. It's very strange to be in Montreux, and maybe you can see a lot of big stars just walking there.
And you can always see Freddie Mercury.
And you can always see Freddie Mercury and B.B. King and Aretha Franklin, because there are a lot of cultures of jazz or rock musicians in Montreux. It's very strange. We don't have the habit to see rock musicians sculptures in a city, but in Montreux that's the case.
So Bernard, tell me, who are you going to see next at the festival?
This Saturday I will see Arcade Fire, which is this American-Canadian band, very, very successful these days. And next week, I will see a very old band called Deep Purple.
Oh, sounds good. I wish I could be there, too.
Deep Purple with a symphonic orchestra in Montreux.
Oh, sounds cool.
Yeah, it will be interesting.
All right, well, have a good time, and thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
That was Bernard Leschaux of Swiss Info's French department. The Montreux Jazz Festival runs through July 17th. And that wraps up our program for this week. To play us out, here's festival founder Claude Nobbs playing harmonica with Philip Fankhauser, to the delight of the embassy crowd in Bern. Thanks for listening. Visit swissinfo.ch for more Swiss news and entertainment. I'm Susan Fogel-Masika.
Everywhere I go in Texas, well, I hear that same old news.